Amen. Father God, we just thank you so much for this time with you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in us. We know, Father, that there's things coming that we need to have you right there with us, in us, and working the things that you'd have us to work with, Lord. And that is working with humility and holiness and you, Lord. And I thank you for being led by your Spirit. It's what we all strive for every step of the way. And we praise you for it, Father. We're led by the Spirit because the Spirit of God is the Word. And we praise you for it, Father. Some of it. And we praise you, Lord, that you have given us our standard to live by. And that's the Word. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you that tonight's not going to be any exception. We've got a wide open heaven tonight. Anything that we pray, we know we're going to get it. We praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all the praise reports and the testimonies that are going to come forth because of your goodness and grace and mercy toward us. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an exceptionally informative night. We praise you, Father, for doing all that you want us to do tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God forevermore. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Okay, everybody's prayed up. That is so good. Thank you. Oh, Missy. You don't have one of them things that makes a yellow one come up there on your deal. Go ahead, Missy.
I need some prayer, but I also would like to pray for my parents, my mom, more specifically. The doctor gave her this medicine for nerve pain. It's called gabapentin, which is the generic, but it's Neurontin. Anyway, she couldn't take it as much as what they wanted her to, so they lowered it because it was making her loopy and like dizzy or whatever, and she couldn't drive. And then she told me the other day that she had visit to the doctor after the surgery on her back, and the doctor told her that she has to wear the back brace or support or whatever for 3 months, and she's really having some issues with pain, and her left knee is bothering her, and her anyway. So, Father, I just thank you and I praise you for all that you're working in my mom and dad's life. I thank you, Lord, that you're showing them that there's to not. So, I thank you, Lord, for showing them not to insist that things be so-so and coming to the understanding that people are more important to take care of than things. And I just thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace upon my mom and getting her through this, Lord, and through it all, Lord, that she's going to come out knowing that you are her healer, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for putting it in her to rely on you more. Than medicine for pain and Lord, I thank you for bringing my mom and dad both to the understanding. Especially my mom, I pray for dad to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, for doing that for my mom, filling her up with your Spirit. I prayed this before for her, Lord, and I thank you for doing it, and I thank you for taking that pain away in the name of Jesus, and showing her, Lord, that you are her savior in all things, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to work out all the details of next weekend for my mom's surprise birthday party, and working out when Marilla can go and clean the house for mom and dad, just that it will all go well, Lord. And that thank you, Lord, for all these trials, Lord, that are crucifying our flesh, Lord, and teaching us to lay down our lives for each other, Lord, just as you did, Lord. And to, like your word says, love one another as I've loved you. And that's the greatest love. A man lay down his life for his friend, Lord. I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I'd like a prayer for headache and muscle knots in my back. I'll pray first. I rebuke the spirit of anxiety in the name of Jesus. I'm anxious for nothing in the name of Jesus. And I take everything to the Lord. And I rebuke the spirit. And I command all this pain to go in the name of Jesus, because by Jesus' stripes I am healed. And I do not receive this. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We agree with Missy that it is done, because she's redeemed from the curse of the law. And I thank you, Father, that business is gone from her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that she's healed in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Lord of God, Lord of God, be healed, girl, because that's what you are.
I am healed.
Amen. Amen. People bundled up like it's cold outside. It's about 95 out there right now. Amen. In our part of the world, anyway, we'll put it that way. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or a praise report or a testimony? Hurry out and declare. Praise God, you made it out. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Geneva. I think that's you.
It's me. I just want to thank the Lord. Me and Morgan got a call the other day that from an insurance claim that we filled out way back when, like around the time that Micah was born, because I was doing a natural birth through the birthing facility, and we had to pay for a midwife. And basically my insurance, like, they didn't take insurance, so we had to pay out of pocket. And they said that certain insurances, but not all of them, I don't know if y'all remember praying for this or not, but we did here on the ministry. We all prayed, you know, that my insurance would cover some of it. And anyways, I kind of completely forgot about it. But Morgan had sent the claim in or whatever, and praise the Lord, out of nowhere we got a call yesterday that they're basically gonna pay us back half of what we paid. And it's crazy, because like, we just spent all this money to move into this house, and this house has been such a blessing, and praise the Lord. It's just like what everyone says, you know, that God will he'll make up your funds, you know, he'll give you what you need. And it's crazy, because here he is, replenishing bank account, praise the Lord. And I just really thankful that, that we got that call. And and also, too, just so thankful again for this house. Like, having space is so nice, especially when you got a little one. So she's not even walking yet, but just super thankful for all of his, just for all of his blessings, you know. Me and Morgan was talking about it the other day, like, a lot of our friends that we know are struggling to find rentals right now. And not only did God find us like the perfect one, but for like such a good price compared to like apartments around here. It's just, you know, we got a house, and like, it's just crazy. It's crazy how the Lord, he loves his little children. He takes care of his little children. He takes care of us. And I just want to thank the Lord.
Amen. It's not crazy. It's godly. Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for taking care of all of us in that way, in that regard, Lord, that we would be special to you, and we would shine for the rest of the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Debbie. When you're smiling.
Hello. okay. yes, I have a prayer request and a testimony. First of all, I wanted, instead of blogging, as I said, those who get the blog prayed for Victory and bought her car. Well, she doesn't have that car. it was a lot of things wrong with it. So we prayed and believed, but God wants to get her something else. So it had transmission problems and possibly a cracked head. Is that what it's called? And so it had problems. It couldn't be fixed. It cost too much. So she's looking for another car, but she's in real good spirits about it. And she's really thanking the Lord. She's been enjoying walking to places with her kids. The Lord has moved her in a place that is just so nice. She's got a bigger place. It's such a nice place. The place she used to have had like a dental sink in the bathroom, a real tiny bathroom. Little teeny tiny dental sink. We couldn't even use it. We went to go. She can't use it. It's like only little kids can use it. Water go over the floor, which is terrible. So it just wasn't a nice place. It was a depressing place. And she's just like a different person living there. And she's trusting God to get another car. So I want to pray for that. That God will bless her in that. She's got some things, her eyes on some things, but she's got to wait because she wants to see what's going to happen to her court date tomorrow. And this court date is about, I didn't know that she got stopped and didn't have any insurance. So that's what this is about. So she says they might want to, what's it called? When she can't drive for a month, revoke her license for a month or something like that. So she's praying for favor for that. And I did text her back and told her, you know, you can pray for favor if you repent, because the Bible says we are to obey those who rule over us, the law of the land, and you didn't by not having that card. So it's a sin. You just repent and you know, sincerely before the Lord and ask him to favor you. So we did that. We prayed that God would show her favor, but she's fine if not, you know. So the Lord is really doing good things in her life. I really am so thankful for that. And so that's sort of a testimony also. I guess I'll pray for that first, okay? Pray with me for her finding a good car. So, Lord, we do pray, Lord, that you would lead her to that one that you have for her, Lord, that she is able to get easily, Lord. And thank you for the work you've been doing in her life, Lord, and keep her looking to you and trusting you, Lord. And we just trust you, Father, and we don't see the answers that we want. You are sovereign, and I thank you that you are showing her that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God.
Yeah. Yes, Lord. Get her a car that she can depend on, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank
amen.
You, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
I heard some rushing now. Did y'all hear some rushing?
I don't know what that was.
That was Lana coming in. She came in.
Oh.
Okay. Well, she's got a car. Praise God.
Well, she will have one. She's got a car, but yes.
Amen.
And I wanted to thank the Lord for, I had a really hard couple days of maybe 3-4 days of depression, the enemy really attacking me. And it's just so wonderful when he, with depression and things like that. And he just really met me. And I just want to testify to that, that God is so good and lifts us out. And the way he did it, he answered that prayer from, you know, I called Gaindola and said, come over and pray for me, please. So she did. And that was Tuesday. And so I felt like, oh, okay. So I need to hear some good stuff. So I want to get on the conference call. And that's why I didn't get on, open it up. I was laid on the couch here and listened, but I wanted to get on and I was lifted and blessed. And so I just want to thank the Lord for that. And I'm thanking him that I'm taking authority over these attacks of the enemy and knowing that they have to, the enemy has to flee. So anyway, he has fled. And I'm doing, I'm just thankful that I feel so free, because it wasn't nice. It was just, the devil is not nice. But thank you, Jesus, that you are our deliverer, Lord. And thank you that we have authority over him, Lord, and we can tell him to flee. We submit ourselves to you, Lord, and he must flee, God. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the way you meet all of us, God, in the things that we go through, Lord, in our thoughts, our emotions, Lord, and know that you meet us all. And we pray to you, Lord, and trust in you, God. We just thank you, Lord, that you are the answer for us, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't even have to fall into these things. If the enemy tries, Lord, help us to catch it right away and just get him under our feet, Lord. And I thank you that you're showing me that, Lord. And I just want to give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
I'm going to pray. Can I pray? I'm going to pray. We're going to pray against witchcraft, against this whole fellowship. In the name of Jesus right now. Devil, I'm putting you on notice. The very God that created you gave us dominion over you. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command you to cease your activity against this fellowship in Jesus' name. I command you out of here in the name of Jesus. You have to go. The blood of Jesus says it. The word of God says it. Now go in Jesus' name. I command you to cease your activity against all these people that are God's people. And I thank you, Father, for putting a hedge of protection around each and every one of us. I command all the spirits of infirmity that he has tried to put on people to leave this fellowship right now, in the name of Jesus. All depression, go. Mind-bending spirits, go right now, in the name of Jesus. Confusion, go. Fear, go, in the name of Jesus. Everything that's not of God, you go right now, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for your cleansing power rushing through this fellowship right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, that it is done. It is done by your word. You said, by his stripes, we were healed. You did it on the cross. We don't have to put up with it. We do not. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your deliverance and your healing power right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It is done. Praise God forevermore. All right. Ray and June, how y'all is?
I wanted to personally thank Deb. I had read the word the Lord had given her, and it was such a blessing. You're such a blessing, Deb. And I just want you to know we appreciate you.
Amen. We appreciate her too. We don't like to tell her too much, but we do. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Carol. Go ahead, Carol. I guess you need to unmute your phone or something, because we can't hear you. We're not hearing anything. I'm not sure what's wrong, but you're not muted by Zoom, so it must be your phone that's muted. Okay. All right. That's fine. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Rion or Claire.
Hi.
Hello.
So I wanted to share this testimony. We asked the Lord a few weeks back if we could take our children to a tennis tournament. Now, I know I get dreams about tennis often, which is hilarious because I don't really play, but it's one of the things we can do with the kids. And just because we have a tennis court like right here by our house, that's the way that the Lord has made it. So it's a nice activity. And there's no other real kids to play with here in the town. So we have to drive up to a city far away. So we asked him if we could go, and I was expecting him to say no, but he gave us such a beautiful word when we asked him. He was, what did he say? He was like,
he said the first will be last, the last will be first.
Yeah, like it was just the, you know, like go that, and that whole piece, yeah, that whole piece of, you know, which is so lovely for the children. So we went, and as the world would have it, there was major rain scheduled for this time of the tournament. Which is Tuesday and
when
Wednesday.
We say tournament, we don't mean like Wimbledon, right?
No, it's just like a holiday club around the holidays. Like it's nothing serious. Like I'm not one of those tiger moms. I don't really care about these things, but I just feel they need to enjoy themselves with other kids at some, you know, sometimes. Anyway, so we got there on Monday afternoon and Mika said, oh, mommy, it looks like it's just going to rain. I've, you know, looked at the weather and I said, you know, the Lord said we could go and he wouldn't say that we could come. We wouldn't say that we could come if the weather was going to be bad. Like he knows our intentions and he has made it so. I cannot tell you, it stormed on those two nights that we were there, but the mornings and the whole day, there wasn't one drop of rain the whole day. And they got to be outside for two whole days, just enjoying playing and making new friends and testifying that aliens aren't real, they're demons and, you know, all kinds of things like that, praise God. And telling girls who have, you know, who don't know about Jesus' love. It was just lovely. And, but I think the most important thing for us was that we remembered that if the Lord says, then you can't shrink back. You have to just continue on and know that he's going to make it so. And I thought that was pretty apt for the discussion this morning. And it just blessed us tremendously. The Lord just blesses us so much. And I just wanted to share that with everyone, that we can even command the weather because it's not us, it's Christ in us. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord loves us. Hey, Lord loves us so much that sometimes we just don't realize how much he does love us and want us to be in him. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Hey, it's Carol, not, go.
It's working.
Yeah, we can hear you, but you're away from the microphone too far.
I was trying to use the headset, and obviously it didn't work. So I still have major tech challenges here. So I'm like literally got my nose on the keyboard where the speaker.
That's a good place for it.
I'm going to stay real close. I'm getting cross-eyed, though, trying to look at the screen. Getting really uncomfortable here. That's okay. I'm going to die to my flesh now forever. So, beloveds, I just want to say thank you. Yes, I answered to the prayer. God has, my request has been to get off the job for a moment here and seek his will, because I feel like I was drifting and drifting and drifting with this job that's just eating me up. And the favor of the Lord was upon, and I have 30 days. I started my fast and I disconnected all TV. Well, I don't have a TV, but anything that's internet TV related, I just obliterated those sites so that I wouldn't run to any shows or old things. I'm going for this 100%. And then we'll see what happens after that. So praise God. I have a timeout with him and it's awesome. And I started today. I went outside. I just want you to know this is really crazy. And I had a divine appointment. I met this young, well, this lady with two children and a dog. And I just felt like I had a word for her. And so the word for her made her cry. She absolutely said she believes it is from God. And I said, oh, good. I said, well, you know, do you know about Jesus? And she says, yeah, but I had drifted. And so anyway, so I gave her this word. We spoke for an hour in the park. And I really kept feeling on my heart, don't forget the child. Don't forget the child. Because she looked really miserable. She was about 10 years old. And eventually when we were walking back towards my house, and they live near next to me now, I said, is it okay if I pray for you? Because I asked the little girl, you know, if she was okay. And she just was shrugging her shoulders. And so she just said, mm-hmm. And her mom said, yeah. So here we are right on the corner of my house, as if I'm trying to not be too evident that I'm with Jesus. I don't know, but right on the corner. Plenty of traffic going by. Here we are in a circle, holding hands, praying in broad daylight. So as I was praying,
not outside.
Right outside, right on the corner of my house, where all my neighbors can look in the window and go, "What is she doing there?" Anyway, but I felt that place where that thought came through, but it didn't even get into my brain. It was like shot out right away. That something more important was happening here than what people think. And so as I prayed for them, I didn't realize I was going to reach the little girl, but that's what happened. She was weeping. The little girl wept. And so her mother held her and I held her hand. And then she shared what was going on. So I just want to lift them up. It's Martin is the mother's name, Martin, I guess, Maya, and Maya's little sister, Mahela, and the father, I don't know his name because she forgot to text me his name, but he's the source right now of the little girl's problem. What she said is that her father, before he became sick, well, after he became sick, he doesn't pick her up and hold her anymore. And she believes, well, I mean, this is the interpretation I got, that she believes that because she's heavier set, he doesn't want to pick her up. Imagine at 10 years old, she's got this thought in her mind. So I just want to lift up this family. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this. Well, I want to thank you for this divine appointment. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. You are always faithful. You are so magnificent and wonderful. And you meet us where we are. When we say, Lord, I want more of you, you just smash the walls down, you break the bricks, you obliterate the enemy, you devastate his plan, and you cover us. So I declare that covering over this ministry, UBM, and all that they do. And I praise your holy name as you brought me to this little family that so needed just a little touch from you, Lord. And I thank you that you chose me to be able to be your instrument of love and affirmation and declaration and prayer, and that I could bring it here to the body of Christ, which I know will be lifted up into the heavenlies within seconds of each one of us thinking of this family and all the other families you put on our heart and on our path. And it's your path, actually. I'm just declaring that. It's your path. It's your heart. It's your word. It's your life. It is your ministry. We are your children. We are your instruments. And I say thank you, Father, for that. I declare and pray a healing over this man, a revelation. But more importantly, I pray that you touch this little girl, that salvation will come to this household, a revival in the mother's heart, but salvation to this little girl, a reminder that you love her and you're her heavenly Father. And through that, they can start claiming the territory for this man who is sick in his mind, sick in his body, and not believing in you, Lord. You know why he drifted, and we're just claiming him back. As a message I heard from that Julie sent today, that one of the teachings on David, what struck me so much is how you give us an opportunity to snatch one or two out of the fire. Well, Lord, we're snatching this family out in your holy and precious name. And I plead the blood of Jesus over them and over this prayer. And I thank you. You are sovereign. You are amazing. You are magnificent. You are beautiful. You are glorious. And there is nothing that is going to stop your love. Thank you for reigniting my heart. And your joy is back in my heart. And I, hallelujah. That's it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe with her, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit working in that family right now. We thank you, Father, for granting repentance and bringing them in, Lord, in a mighty way. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. Anyone else? Well, I will tell you that I've got a few texts and emails from people telling us how good a fellowship we had Tuesday night and how they were blessed by it. But there were some questions, and which, you know, when you have a meeting and a fellowship like that with some teaching in it, that there will be questions because of the prophetic word that was given at the last there about the things that are coming upon this planet. And so I thought it would be good if we dispel some fears about what is coming. And one of the things that we need to remember is who we are in Christ. And when we realize who we are in Christ, who abides in us? His Holy Spirit abides in us, doesn't he? He moved into me, into y'all, into everyone here, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he don't go and come, does he? He stays right here. He's not one that goes and comes and goes and comes. He's with us all the time. And if he's with us all the time, he shows us the things to come every day. Not only that, it's not about a particular gift that he has that is activated in us, because we have access to all the gifts. Is that not true? All the gifts of the Spirit are prevalent in each and every one of us. And the Lord will allow us to utilize them as the need arises. And if we understand that, we have, when Jesus left this earth, he left us the tools to be Jesus in his stead here on earth as he's up in heaven on the throne of God, interceding on our behalf. So if that's the truth, then I've got the Holy God in me, and Jesus has left me all his tools, is he going to give us something to do and not give us the right tools to work with? No. He's given us every tool he had to do the job that he wants us to do. And what is the job that he's had us to do? Go ye into the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, do all of those things that he did. He's already given it to us. And so if that's the case, if all the authority in heaven has been given to me over all the power of the enemy, I don't have anything to worry about, do I? Should we be in fear of anything? Fear is a demon, and he can't reside in me simply because I'm not going to allow it. As a child of God, I have that authority. I can make him leave me, or any other demon, or any other thing that anxiety comes upon me. Oh my goodness, what is this plague that's coming on us now? Am I supposed to get the vaccine? No. We are supposed to be the light of God walking in this world, not the light of the doctors, not the light of the medical world, not the light of man. We're the light of God. And when we're the light of God, we walk like God, we talk like God, and we act like God. Glory to God. Because why? Because we have joined together with the head, who is Jesus, and we are the body. We're the complete Christ, right? And if we're the complete Christ, that's our job. His job is to lead us. Our job is to do. He wants to use our hands. He wants to use our feet. And he wants to use our mouth. And there's no reason that we can't be. I remember, I'll tell you this little story. Y'all, most of you remember Lake, John G. Lake, when he was, and this other guy were taking all the bubonic plague death corpse and dragging them into a grave because nobody else would do it. And the medical establishment came on the scene and said, "What are you doing? You don't have all the garb on, you know. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. Why haven't you gotten this?" And he quoted in Romans 8:2. Anybody know what the Romans 8:2 is? Anybody ought to know it.
Is it in Romans?
It's for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And if he's done that, we don't have to worry about nothing. We can, and he made him do this for y'all that don't know. He made him do this. He said, "You go get some spit out of that dead corpse right there. Get your microscope handy. And I want you to look and see what happens when you put that live, thriving bubonic plague in my hand." And they pulled that microscope, got a microscope. This was in a lab. And they got that microscope out, and they looked in his hand. They threw that spit in his, and they could see that those organisms moving around with that microscope until it hit his hand. And when it hit his hand, they immediately died. That's us walking in the midst of this world when everybody else is falling out around you. And we go up to him and say, "In the name of Jesus, come out of them and be healed." And they get up and walk out. And then you disciple them and tell them who Jesus, who did it for them. Wasn't you. It was Jesus in you that did it. And that's how we have to remember who you are in Christ. That's all I'm trying to get over to you. You're not some weak, sisterly looking thing that walking around there waiting on a demon to slap you down. No, that demon should be scared of you. Listen, there's a new sheriff coming into this town, Lord of God. You better look out, demon, because God's with me. And that's the attitude that we need to have. Now, I'm not saying be arrogant and like that. I'm talking about being humble. And, you know, that's what Lake was. Lake was humble. He was helping to bury these people. That's all he was, getting a dead corpse off the streets. And everybody else was scared to go outside because of the bubonic plague that was killing everybody. But him and this other old man was pulling them out. Bubonic plague just ripping all off of them. But they were dying as soon as they put their hand on. I'm talking about the bubonic plague. And that's the way we ought to be. Don't worry. Don't be in anxiety about anything, because God is with you. Now, is God a liar? No, he's not a liar. He's going to back up what he said in his Word of God. In the Word of God. And when the Word of God, when you walking in the Word of God, then guess what? You're covered by the blood, and nothing can hurt you. Nothing. What's this? Absolutely nothing. I forget the matter how it goes, but anyway. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Michael. Something that the Lord brings back to my remembrance periodically when the enemy is trying to put thoughts in my head about, you know, these things that are coming is, you know, who is the judgments coming upon? They're, you know, it's not coming on us. The judgments are coming on the wicked, the rebellious, the apostates, the people that God needs to get the attention of. And he's judging, you know, his judgments on the wicked. It's not his children. You know, it's just like, don't let the enemy try to get you fearful, worried, and putting that stuff. It's like, you know, it's who the judgments are for. You know, just wanted to share that little.
Amen. That's a good point, because he's doing this to shake the churches. He's going to clean out the churches, the apostate churches, and bring God's people out of them. Because the first thing is going to happen, they're going to shut down the churches because COVID or whatever this next pandemic is called. They're going to shut it down, and the preacher's going to run and hide. And they're going to see people like y'all out there healing the sick and raising the dead, because it's going to be hundreds of times worse than this last one. That's what we're being told anyway. Yeah, Rihanna, Claire.
Yeah, Michael has reminded me of something I heard this morning. I was listening to one of David's old teaching from the 1980s to 1990s series called Dominion or Rebellion. And he mentioned in there, and he said, when you're born again, you receive the spirit of Christ, right? So it's no longer your own spirit. He says, but that's not where God wants to stop. Christ wants to manifest not only in the spirit be in you, but in your soul and in your flesh, in all of those. In your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion, must be transformed and renewed and become more and more like Christ all the time. And then even in your body as well. And that's his ultimate goal. And then he shared from 1 Peter 4, and I'll read a little bit of that, because in verse 7 it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Now, we know that in the Greek there was no such thing as things, so you can read it, there's no such word as things, you can read it, but the end of all is at hand. So we have to come to the end of ourselves, right? That's the end of the old man. The end of our old man is at hand. And be ye therefore of sound mind, and be sober unto prayer. So there's that mind again. We must have the mind of Christ, and we must be sober unto prayer. And that fits in so nicely with the teaching that David gave on Wednesday night, talking about our prayers that needs to be specific. We need to be sober about what we're praying, and we need to come. That prophecy that Dana Coverstone shared about the archer and the arrows that were so sharp. I don't know if you guys heard it as well, but it's a very good dream. But it's talking about the arrows need to be sharp and pointy. So we need to be praying specifically. And if we know what's going on in our mind, and we know that we manifest in Christ, we can have that specificity. And then from verse 8, it says, above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins. And that's that agape love of laying down your life for each other, using hospitality one to another without murmuring, according as each has received a gift, ministering it among yourselves, and ministering is serving it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're stewards of the grace of God. He's given that grace, and he's given it to us to look after and take care of and spread. And then the verse I wanted to get to is 11. It says, and if any man speaks, must speak as it were oracles of God. So oracles, how David explained it, he says that's just being in agreement with the word. An oracle is was a mouthpiece of God, right? There's just someone, it's just a mouthpiece, is an oracle that God can speak through. And he's saying it's not about remembering every single verse and just quoting the Bible all the time. It's about being in agreement with what it says. And the only way we can become more and more like Christ and become more and more in agreement with what the word says is by partaking of the unleavened bread. Like it says, we have to eat the bread, which is the word of God. We have to be in the word and studying it all the time. And so speaking of fear, Michael, and adding to what you're saying, is that is how you overcome the fear. Is you, yes, we rebuke it, we say it's a demon, you get off of us, but then you have to fill yourself up with faith. And the only way to fill yourself up with faith is one, ask so you can receive it, and two is eating that word, partaking of the unleavened bread. And David puts it so nicely. He said that if the more and more you study the word, the more and more God will start putting the correct doctrine in you, or his doctrine. We have to get rid of all the other doctrines, not worry about this thing and that thing and people arguing or disagreeing about things. We just have to agree with what the word says and be in the word. And the Lord will manifest the full gospel within you the more and more you read it. And it was just such a reminder again, as we go into this time where it's going to be, all these things are coming on, because we knew that the first plague that was coming now, which was COVID, was going to be nothing compared to the next one that's coming. We knew that, you know, 3.5 years ago already. But this was just a test and a trial to see, yes, if we continue in the word and we don't, we'll, like Psalm 91 says, 1,000 will fall on your left, 10,000 on your right, but nothing will in any wise hurt you or harm you or come near you. The angels will lift up your feet. You won't dash them against a stone. But it's only if you believe it, if you are in agreement with that word. And the only way we can agree with that word is we study it and we eat it more and more and more. And we got to have a balanced approach in how much time are we spending in the news and looking at the bad report and the fear of things that's going on, and how much are we getting out of scripture? I look at Daniel, how he deciphered his end times of the man-child coming in those days. And what did he do? He searched the scriptures. He didn't search the wise men of the kings and the media or whatever the day that's going on. He searched, he figured out when Christ is coming by studying Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all the other books of the Bible. We have to be the same. We have to continue staying in the word, and then fear will have no grip on you. No, because it is written, it is said, and you know it, and it's in you and becomes part of you, becomes part of who you are. It's the word made flesh. It can become, as you eat it, that word that you eat becomes your flesh, not just spirit, but in your soul and in your body. It can overtake your flesh as well. And that's exactly what happened with John G. Lake that you shared. It's that his hand, that flesh there was the word made flesh. And they proved it scientifically by looking at it under a microscope and scope, because he understood the spirit of that life in Christ that's happening within him. And he knew, and he was willing to put his life on it, that it is the truth and it's nothing but the truth. And we are all willing to die because of it. We're dying to ourselves. We're dying to the old flesh, and we cannot have any space for fear in our lives then. Now, Claire, you wanted to share something as well, I think. Was it?
Yeah, but I'll try to be quick, but it's more like when you sent out that text, Michael, and when we've been talking about the fear, I remember when I just came to Christ and I understood I couldn't have fear, and I didn't really have fear of doctors and stuff. But then as I was learning more about vaccines and things, I remember David used to have a lot more on his website than what he does now about that kind of stuff. And I was learning a lot about it. And I used to be really fearful, I'm confessing, of other people's children infecting my kids. Do you know what I mean? I used to have this, not a fear of the actual disease, but a fear of my kids getting like contaminated by other people's germs. And I knew it was wrong and I couldn't figure out what it was. And then one day it just hit me and I'm like, but that's just fear again. That's just another form of fear. And you're making it a self-righteous fear, which is wrong. And that's even more sinful. And I remember rebuking it. And the Lord gave me a test because he put this lady in my path who had vaccinated her children to the hilt about 3 days before we met. And I had to spend a lot of time with her over the next 3 weeks. Now, if you know, any childhood vaccination cycle, like 3 days to 3 weeks is when most of that stuff just manifests. But I remember when she told me that, normally I would be like calling my kids near and, you know, wiping their hands, and I just left it. And we got home and I just put oil on my kids and I prayed over them. And I said, we're not going to change the next 3 weeks. We're going to be doing what we need to do with this family for the next 3 weeks because the Lord is in control. And they never got sick. And it gave me such freedom because I could actually then start praying for those people instead of praying for myself, because we already knew the promises were yes and amen for us. And that is where I realized what I'm supposed to be doing. Do you know what I mean? For the first, I don't want to say for the first time, because my faith had grown in other areas, but this specific thing. And I bring it up because I'm sure a lot of us might be feeling that anxiety when you go out to buy something in the world, like, oh, the Shedders, or oh, this, or oh, that. But it's actually got, they've got nothing to do with our pristine medical conditions, because we are pristine because of the blood of Jesus. So we are then free to pray the blood of Jesus over them and to intercede for them. And that is so freeing. I don't know if it makes sense, but I hope you hear the heart with which it was shared, that I learned something over the years.
Amen. That's exactly right. All right. Anyone else? I've got a little more I can share here also that I've written down here. We have to come. Oh, go ahead, Dave. I'll let you come before I start again.
No, I'll just say real quick. And we all, most of us have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you do need that. And you need to get refilled often. I mean, ask for it. Because God's Spirit with your spirit is going to guide you. He's going to guide you through everything. And that's not only when we're reading the word and getting confirmed and he's showing us truths, but through these days, it's going to be God's Spirit guiding you through everything. And he's going to be talking to you through your spirit man. And that's why it's so important to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and other gifts that he gives you. Because there's a lot of Christians out there that think they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they never really saw it to get those evidences in their life. So, if, you know, that's very important to have that gift, that ability to walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, hear God's Spirit talk to your spirit. And when that happens too, the Lord gives you a great overcoming in your life, of your flesh and of things that may have hindered you. And not that Satan doesn't try to come back and give them to you. He does. He tries to put condemnation back on you. He tries to put fear back on you. But without that baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't really have a lot of defense against Satan. You may have your mind knowledge and what you can understand, but you don't really have God guiding you that well. I'll put it that way. Your spirit's not really in tune with the Lord the way it needs to be. And even with us being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we constantly need to be seeking God out daily and listening and searching for him in our life so that we know we're on the path he needs us to be on, where we're at. And we start talking about fear. Well, fear is definitely... Jesus and the Lord never gave us a spirit of fear. And if you go back through the scriptures, you see where Lord tells them not to fear often. And he says, I'm going to fight for you. And it's not like they sat back and didn't do anything. They still had to go into the battle, but they won because the Lord was with them, fighting for them and with them. So we may have to still pick up the sword and fight, you know, and cast things down, like Rian was talking about with the arrows, having them sharp, you know, directing them, whatever where the Lord has us. And we're going to be making sure we're in tune with the Lord and we know what it is we're fighting. And like we're casting down the enemy. There's, we're not worried about the shedding, like Claire is saying, and the vaccines and all that. But we have to be in tune with that and knowing what our authority is too. We have authority over all these things. And one of the things we talked about Tuesday was, you know, making sure you don't have that doubt or unbelief that's going to hold you back and not let you take the position of Christ you need in order to take on this challenge. Now, the other thing we're going to talk about a little bit here is when this stuff starts to really develop and happen, you're not going to be left homeless and childless. You know, you're not going to be left out there fending for yourself, because there is going to be a latter-day rain too. There's going to be another anointing over God's people to go through these days. So it's not like you're thinking, I got to get ready for this and I'm going to, you know, I'm not ready. No, just stay at the course where you're on day by day, constantly listening for the Lord, walking with him, not getting in any sin or allowing sin to overcome you in your life, casting it down, confessing your sins. And the Lord's going to be there to help you. He's going to be there to overcome. He's going to be there to fight for you on your side. And when it starts getting really serious out here, the Lord's going to be anointing us to handle it with that latter-day rain. You understand, that's how it's all going to progress. So there's nothing to fear, because this is the Lord. This is all from the Lord. He's got it all under control, and he's going to help us get through this. And what's he want more than anything? He wants to help us overcome our flesh, and that's what he's doing it for. So this just a reminder. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. Go ahead, Julie.
One of the things that the Lord keeps reminding me, and is in so many of David's teaching about faith, is stay abiding in Christ. That's where all the blessings are at. And you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And you got to keep feeding your spirit, man. You got to keep, if you can't sit and read, you know, something or whatever, you can always be listening to the podcast, listening to the Bible studies, listening to something. So you're constantly hearing and your mind's focused on listening to the word, stay abiding in Christ. Yeah, just wanted to add that little bit.
Amen. That's kind of where I was going, is we have to make up our minds to either run after the Lord, run after the world, or run after the flesh. Which one do you want? If you run after the Lord, you'll be an overcomer. And if you allow the flesh to rule in your life, you're not going to be an overcomer. And that's what Julie and Dave was talking about. Get in the Word of God. There's a book that Andrew Murray has. It's called Absolute Surrender. And that's something that we all have to do. Listen, Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. We are the light now because the Holy Spirit resides in us. And once you figure out that power that's in you, there's not one temptation, not one sin that comes before you that you can't overcome. Not one. You either choose to go that route or choose to go the route of the Lord. That's pretty easy. That's pretty straightforward. And when you choose to go the route of the Lord and you hate that sin that you've been in so much so, then it's not a temptation anymore. because you've overcome with the word of the Lord that David, Judy was talking about. You're getting in the word. Well, I don't have time. Are you gonna, you're gonna either make time? What's more important to you? Whatever you do with your time is what's more important to you. If you're doing other things other than getting in the word, that's more important to you than Jesus. And that's what we all have to do. I'm getting a little bit blunt here because we're getting, time is short. Time is short. And when you understand how short it is, I'm hopeful that people, I'm not just talking to this bunch, we're talking to people that listen to this broadcast all over. When you understand the times that we're in and how short we are before big things start breaking loose, and you still go after the flesh and you still go after the world, you have nobody to blame but yourself. You can't blame God because he's given you the word to look at and to read and to meditate on. I'll get it out in a minute. Meditate on. And that's where he wants us. He wants us to do that. How you live matters to God. It matters to him in a big way. If you're living in sin all your life and you're having to repent every 2 or 3 days, then, you know, understand when you first come into the kingdom, you don't understand the word of God. It's not a sin if you don't know it's a sin. So that's not a problem. But when you find out it's a sin and you still continue in that sin, then that's a problem. You love that sin more than you love the world. That's what's happened a lot of times in fellowships like this and like we have here locally. They like their sin more than they like the Lord. And they don't want to go any further up the hill, up the mountain, I should say. And the Lord takes them out. And that's what's happening. And that's what's fixing to happen to the apostate churches. He's going to bring this shaking on to shake God's people out of. And there's going to be a lot of them come out of. There's going to be some to come out of every church there is, or denomination, I should say. I was telling some people today, there's people over in the Middle East and Africa that are dying from this revival that started over there a couple of years ago. They're going to evangelize other Muslim towns barefooted because they don't have the means to buy shoes, but they're committed to the Lord. They won't fight back when the Muslims come after them because the word says, turn the other cheek. And we can't spend, and I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm just saying, we can't spend 2 hours a day with the Lord. Some of us can't spend 15 minutes. Some of us can't spend any time because we're too busy. It's not going to be too busy when this thing really hits. And all of these people out there are going to be needing help. And we were not doing what the Lord asked us to do in order to get ready. Other than that, it's going to be a fine time in Jesus. Glory to God, we're going to have such a wonderful time. And I'm telling you, for those who are in tune with what God wants them to do, it's going to be the best of times. I'm telling you, you're going to see things that you never thought was possible. And look out, somebody might be translated over to where you are to get you to help them out. Translation is going to be the mode of transportation for God's people. And not only that, the internet is going to work when nobody else has got it, because I need to talk to Rion, and he's down there in that godforsaken country called Tasmania. And also Raymond and Daniel and all the rest of them down there. Over in South Africa, we might need to go over there. Or they need to come over here. I told you, I've been telling Joe for a long time, I'm coming to get you in North. Glory to God, I'm coming to get you and bring you back to Tennessee so you can learn English. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I have to have an interpreter every time he speaks English. And praise God, I do. But I love Joe. I love his heart. And I love both of them, actually. And I know that at some point in time, they're going to be here. And I may be the one to come get you. And that's the excitement. That's the excitement part. While we're there, we're able to bring 500 more with us. Glory to God. But it's going to be an awesome time for those who are right with the Lord. It's going to be a glorious time. I don't, what are y'all doing down there in that chat? Okay. All right, Joe. All right, Judy, get ready.
If I could add something, it's just I always remember I try to remind myself is don't try to fit the Lord into my life and my plans. It's get yourself in line with what the Lord has done for you or going to do through you. That's all I want to say. Thanks.
Amen. I understood that. Thank you, Jesus. He's given me the gift of interpretation. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. That was, yes, Joe, that's exactly right. Amen. Is that Joe says, I'm only a hop, skip, and a jump through the mountains. Yes, you can. Absolutely. All right, Carol, go ahead, girl.
In line with what Joe was saying, I had this dream, and I just found it in my journal this morning. It was in April, and it was a couple. They were walking with a lion on a leash in the city, and I was like, you guys, you can't walk with a lion on a leash and in the city. It's very dangerous. And just when I said that, the leash snapped, and the lion got loose, and then they ran, and I ran. And I ran up onto a balcony and I realized that I forgot my dog. My dog was still on the ground near the lion. And I was going, little guy, come back, come here, come here, come here. And instead of coming to me, he laid on his back and he spread out his legs, you know, and chose his belly. And that's a sign when a dog is really feeling safe. And I go, what was that dream? So I realized it wasn't the lion that, you know, devours people, but rather it was the Lion of Judah. And I go, Lord, what's this all about? And he's like, you can't keep me on a leash. You got to let me go, you know, so I can do what I need to do. So there you go. No putting God on a leash. And some say it's putting him in a box, but I really feel like that's what he's saying. So again, I'm just saying I'm dedicating this time where I just let go of the leash and let Jesus be Lord in our lives.
Amen. Hey, I can't do number. Amen. Don't put God in a box. How many of you know that God can do anything that we need him to do? I don't care if it's moving a snow blizzard out of the way. He can do it. I don't care if it's bringing sunshine on the day at the beach. Glory to God, he can do it when there's thunderstorms all around you. I don't care if it means running off a bunch of perverts off the beach before you get out there and you let you have the whole beach to yourself. God can do it. I don't care if your car messes up. God can fix it. I don't care if you've got a broken pipe in your shop and you ain't got time to fix it and you're tired of pumping that water out of there and you say, in the name of Jesus, be fixed, and it's fixed. And you don't have to fix it anymore because God honors his word. So God can't do this. God can't do. Give me a break. Did he make you? You're a whole lot more complex than anything that I've mentioned. And he can do it. He can do anything that you can imagine that he can do. I've seen him fix cars. I've seen him fix everything imaginable. All right, Lana. Hello, Lana. Where'd she go?
Hi, sorry about that. I clicked the wrong button. Hi, everybody. I just, Michael, you said the phrase to the extent of, do we know? And we were just talking about this with Elena and David last night, is that a lot of times we do know. And that's where it remains, is in the head knowledge, and it doesn't go to our heart, and it doesn't speak through our actions. And I was just wondering, could we pray about that? Because I was actually praying that to myself as you were speaking, that, Lord, I don't want to just be full of head knowledge about all these things that you can do, but I want to be able to speak it and walk it. And I want to stand in faith that you, that when I walk to a beach and need you to get rid of a bunch of half naked people, that I don't just pray this because I have to, because it's a habit, but I pray this because you're going to answer that prayer, and we're just going to watch you do it. So I pray that for all of us here, that Father, take us to the next level. May our knowledge of you go from head knowledge to faith, or to into our hearts and into our actions, and become our faith, become our life, become our lifestyle, really. And we thank you, Father God, for doing that in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I put my faith up with Lana, and I believe it's so. And I declare and decree bold faith in this fellowship right here in the name of Jesus, that when you speak it, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's going to answer. And I know it. So it's just like, listen, where's God? He's in the temple, right? Isn't he? That's right. He's in the temple. He can hear you. You don't have to shout. I do sometimes because I just feel like it when I get out in the woods by myself, but that's okay. That's just me. He can hear you, and he will hear you. And we can testify right here in this fellowship. Every time we pray, God answers one way or another. And it's not sometimes yes and sometimes no. It's always yes, because he said we always pray in the will of God. Okay, Lana.
I just wanted to tack on a prayer request. Little Gabe has cut two, almost three more teeth within the last couple of days. And it's been a little rough, but praise the Lord, we endured. And since last night, he's been fevering pretty badly. He's been very cranky. But what concerns me most is I'm seeing lying signs and symptoms of pain in him that want to tell me that he must have eaten something again that he shouldn't have. And we're waiting for it to make it through him and to come out of him, because he seems to cry whenever I touch his bottom or change his diaper. And I've been really asking the Lord for the grace to cast off those imaginations and relieve little Gabe of pain. But I'm feeling a boldness that I just need to endure and stand in faith. And the Lord's got it taken care of however he chooses to do that. So Father God, we thank you that little Gabe is whole and he's healed and he's not hurting, and whatever is trying to get through his system, we command it to be gone. And whether you disintegrate or show yourself in his diaper by the end of the night, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for dissolving it and it's gone in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for putting that angel right there with him, his angel right there with him, that he does not get a hold of any kind of object anymore without mama knowing it or daddy knowing it. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, before he puts it in his mouth even. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord of God, glory to God, it is done. That boy is just like the rest of them. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, end of question. The only reason people sin is because they want to, after you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you understand what sin is. And listen, sometimes we do make mistakes, and I understand that. And just like I believe it was Dave was talking about earlier, when you make a mistake, repent. You know what repent means, don't you? I don't just mean I say you're sorry. That means quit doing it. Quit doing it. Go and do something else other than that. Do what's right rather than what's wrong. And the problem is sometimes we think we deserve things. I deserve to get mad, or I deserve to, whatever it is, it don't make any difference. No, you deserve to do what God wants you to do, and that's to be like him. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, you brought up sin, and, you know, and I thought maybe we could talk about that sometime too. Because, you know, Paul talks about sin a little bit, and especially in Romans. He talks about the flesh being the problem, especially in Romans 7, when he was struggling. He was struggling with his flesh. And, you know, he had that, the mind of the spirit, but he also had that flesh coming out inside of him, and he was wrestling with it. He was having a hard time, and he was feeling hopeless. And sometimes he just felt like, you know, what am I going to do about this? And I think we've all felt that sometimes. What can I do about this, Lord? And, you know, but that's where we have to be honest with God too, and tell him, search us and help us out on this, God. And, you know, if there's something there that you're struggling with, but you don't want it, you know, God's on your side. He's not there to say, get away from me, you sinner. You know, he's not like that. He's only going to be hard on people that don't want to change, don't want to give up their sin. You know, they want to make an excuse for the sin. Because, you know, they're not listening to God anymore. They're listening to the flesh, and they're listening to some demon. They're not trying to resist the sin. They're not trying to overcome it. They're not feeling any kind of grief for the sin. And, you know, it's just, they don't have despair for the sin. And they've listened to doctrine of demons. They've been changed. Their mind has been seared with a hot iron. Those people will be reprobated. But, you know, if you're struggling with something and you know it, and God, you're honest with God, and you're just, you know, really just it's making you feel bad. Well, you know, God's on your side on that. And he tells us in Romans 8, therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, Satan's the one that's going to try to condemn you and make you feel like you're not worthy of forgiveness, not worthy of coming to the agreement with God, that it's no longer you that live, that Christ lives in you. Because if he can rob you from that vision, he can make you feel like it's hopeless. But Jesus wants to give you hope in your life. The Lord wants to help you fight these things. He brings these things in your life so you can overcome your flesh, and he's there to help you. He wants you to conquer the land, which is the old man, and he's going to be on your side. So we got to keep those things in mind. Right? Keep and not lose sight of the promises of what God's going to do in your life. And confess that, you know, it's no longer you live, that Christ lives in you. And just remember that if there's something that's holding you back, and if you need prayer, find somebody to pray with you over it and cast it off too. You know, public prayer sometimes is good, or prayer with somebody you can trust, and that helps you overcome these things, and you guys can cast them off. I mean, we all get laden in our minds with things once in a while, and we're fighting them off, you know. Don't feel like it's a strange trial that you're the only one. We all go through it. But just don't want you to make feel hopeless about this sin thing. But you know, if you're not out there actually practicing it and getting and just not letting go, that's one thing. But if you're fighting something and it's in a war in your mind, which Paul went through, that's quite the other. That's the old man. That's the flesh. That's what we all battle against, you know, and that's what we're overcoming. So understand that too, okay? That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. And that overcoming power is that grace that God's given us. That's the grace of God. Praise God. Sometimes, a lot of times, we just choose to sin because whatever it is, it's a choice that you want to sin. It's because of where you keep your mind a lot of time. Where you keep your mind rather than casting down those vain thoughts and things. Whenever your mind goes, that's where your body's going to follow. And that's the choice that you have. And so we just have to keep our mind on the Word of God. Keep our, remember what David says all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Look at Jesus in the mirror. Look at Jesus in the mirror. And when you look at Jesus in the mirror, and that's spiritually speaking, you just keep Jesus on your mind the whole day. Now, would Jesus want me to do this? I cast that down in the name of Jesus. And that's what you have to do. This is listen, we're in warfare. Spiritual warfare. Put that armor on every day. And when you put that armor on, you're going to be an overcomer. Lord God, you're going to be an overcomer. And just keep praising God all day long. Praying in the spirit is essential in this walk that we have. When you praying in the spirit, somebody asked Lake one time, they said, what is the secret of your success in this healing ministry? He said, praying in the spirit, loud and long. That's what he said. And if I remember correctly, and some of you might remember this also, they put a immunity type of some kind of equipment locked into him one time. He said, just try to test my immune system. And they tested it while he was quoting Poe and some other guys. But when he started speaking in the spirit, his immunity level went off the charts. And they said that for every 30 minutes that you pray in the spirit, you have 30% immunity. If you prayed in the spirit for an hour, you had 60% immunity. If you prayed for 2 hours, you'll have some left over to give somebody else. That's the way Lake put it. So praying in the spirit is essential as well. And you don't have to be alone to do it. You can pray it under your breath. I do a lot. But I sure like to get out in the woods and scream it out sometimes too. Go ahead, Rihanna and Claire.
Oh, when Dave Nelson was talking, I just remembered this point in my life where I ran with so much of David's teachings in the beginning, but I didn't really, and I had deliverance and I had all these things, and I knew lots of demons had left me, but I was still pretty, and I please understand, by no means am I saying that I've arrived. I struggle with things still, but it just made me realize at one point, I remember listening to David so much about that one verse, the one that you've just mentioned, you know, And I went to the mirror and I was like, I can't see him. I can't see Jesus. I'm still, I'm like this. I'm like this. I'm like this. I'm like this. Why am I still this? And I remember then the Lord showed me, I've been, my whole life, I've been reading these self-help books and personality sort of things, you know, like, this is who you are. You're an ESTJ, or this is who you are. You like this. And so many people had boxed me in these things that I didn't know that I had the freedom in Christ to not be those things. I didn't have to just be, you know, like you hear a lot of people go, oh, that's just who I am. Well, no, because unless you're Christ, that's not who you are. And that helped me so much. It made me realize that I don't have to be this certain personality type or this display these characteristics just because somebody saw it in my personality, because that stuff's fallen anyway. I'm not saying all your personality is fallen. I think there are some things that the Lord has got such grace for that he gives you just a smattering of goodness, you know, otherwise we'd be really hopeless. So that's his common grace. But I'm saying, but a large count, it's almost like you have to, through the freedom and power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, reinvent yourself to conform to the image of Christ. And that was something that I learned. And I wish I would have learned it earlier on, because the more you live in yourself and the more you live in the flesh, the harder it is to get rid of stupid bad habits or thinking about yourself a certain way. And oh, Julie, that's a very kind thing to say. I also love my personality now because I can see more of Christ in it. But, you know, I'm hoping that I'll be even more loving and kind and wonderful as I walk with the Lord, and that he changes me from the inside out. But I had to come to that realization that this is just who I am doesn't cut it when you're walking in holiness. And it was such a freeing moment for me. I'm so glad. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much. Glory to God. Woo, I feel good tonight. I feel good last night. I'm going to feel good tomorrow night too, glory to God. In Hebrews 12:4, this comes to my mind quite often. It says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We sometimes we just don't think it's necessary. Just gonna have to do the sin and repent later. Anyway, I'm gonna get off of sin. I wanna do something. I'm gonna talk about something good, better. Yeah, it is. Very timely. Has anybody got any questions or any comments they wanna ask about the things that are coming and how to avoid them? Hit them head on. That's what I do. Remember when Lake was had this guy that was praying for the plague to leave? You know, he was out there in the desert. He was under a bush out there. And he was, Lake went out there one day and he asked him, he said, how's it going, brother? He said, oh, said, we almost got it. We almost got it. He said, I just need a little bit of help. He said, can you help me, Mr. Lake? He said, sure, I'll help you. He said, I dropped down and I started praying. And I looked up and I saw this guy jump up like a wild man. And he went to running. And he said, he looked out there and there was a whole herd of demons out there he was running after. And they defeated that plague right then, praying against those demons. He said, I just need a little bit of help, brother. And Lake dropped down. Next thing you knew, this guy jumped up and went after him, pointing his finger and screaming at him, screaming scriptures at him. And they left. And the plague was over. One man with a little bit of help. That's the way we are sometimes. We just need a little bit of help from our brothers and sisters. That's the kind of life we're having right now. The kind that Lake had, we're having right now. People are getting healed, delivered, set free, and things that Lake never even thought about. He never even thought about it. He had to go beg for money a lot of time for the missionaries that were out in the field rather than just believing God for them. Remember, what's the guy's name that believed for the money for the orphanages over in the UK? George Mueller. He never told anybody how much money he needed or what he needed money for, but he told God. He said, God, I need another one of them great big buildings you built for me the last time to put some more orphans in. And then he write it down in his diary. Never told anybody about it. Next thing you know, they're building another building to put 200 more kids in, or ever how many it was. And he built a whole bunch of them up by doing that too, and which would be worth millions and millions of dollars on today's world. And back then, it was worth probably even more. But I'm telling you, if you need provision, just tell the devil to loose your provisions and command the angels to go get it and bring it to you. And then believe it's going to happen. And know it's, don't tell nobody what you need. Don't tell anyone what you need. And do it that way. And guess what happens? It'll just show up. It don't have to be something. It doesn't make any difference how much you need. He's going to do it. If you believe, then you're walking right with him. He'll take care of you. And I'll tell you something else. All hell can be breaking loose around you. There can be soldiers all around. Just like it happened to a friend of mine over in Africa. He went and was preaching the word in an open-air tabernacle in a place where they wasn't supposed to do that. And the gendarmes came over there after. He was hiding behind a chicken coop that was made out of wire. And the gendarme came and shined the light right in his face and kept walking. Never even saw him. I'm telling you, God can do anything. And he can make you invisible. Hidden in Christ. That's right, excuse me. Hidden in Christ. You could be hidden in Christ. There's all kinds of miracles. We're going to sit around for ages up in heaven telling each other about these things that God has done for us down here. It'll be so awesome. I can wait, but I mean, I'm ready to see some of these things. I've told the Lord since I was a young man in Christ that I wanted to be one of the last ones out of here because I wanted to see all the mighty, wonderful miracles that he was going to do through his people. And he's going to let me do it too. I'm going to be in the last chariot that leaves out of here if that's the way we go. Because I want to see it all. I want to see the recompense of the wicked. Anybody else agree with me here? Am I just talking to myself? Go ahead, Jimmy. Thank you. That's right. You got that right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I'll tell you something else you can do, Rion. You can keep speaking. If you have some lack in your body, you can speak it back into existence. Now, somebody's looking at, what's he talking about? Just try it. Just try it. See what happens.
Like teeth, Michael. There's even those testimonies of people losing teeth. And
they're coming back. I'm telling
you. They have. There's testimonies of them coming back. Yeah.
Amen. They're being restored even as we speak. Just speak it every day. Speak it every day when you get up. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me, restored my teeth back to when I was 30 years old. Lord of God. Or when I was 60 years old. Some of you don't even think I'm 60, but I'm just a little over 60. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's right, Julie. Go ahead, Barbara.
Remember when I told y'all I had two teeth that fell out at the bottom. But prior to them falling out, the Lord gave me a dream a week before they fell out that I was going to have all white teeth, all nice teeth white. So that's a blessing. And I'm hanging on to that too. So praise the Lord. I got my teeth coming.
Amen. Just declare it and decree it every morning. That's all you got to do. If your skin looks like it's got them age spots on it, you say, nope, I ain't accepting that in the name of Jesus. I got 30-year-old skin. I don't care what this thing looks like. Bless God, I'm gonna look like a 30-year before this thing is over with. Y'all gonna be so, I'm gonna be so nice to look at. My goodness. Praise God. What are you laughing about, Pat? That's the truth, brother. I'm telling you, that's the truth.
Agreed.
Amen. Amen. I'm laughing, but I'm doing that. I'm speaking it. And y'all should too. It's a wonderful world that we live in to know that God loves us so much. He'll do all these things for us if we just ask for them. He said, all you got to do is ask. And he'll do it. Amen. I just love y'all. Am I going to have that? No, I never did have no baby face. I had a full grown face when I was 2 years old. What are you talking about, Joe? Oh, man. All right. Anybody else got a word they want to talk about or something they want to say? It'd be fine. We got 20 more minutes. 21 minutes, actually. We can make it 30 minutes. I'm that away. I have that authority. Oh, we can have 5 minutes. I can shut it down right now if I need to. Go ahead, Raymond. You have to unmute. You know how to, I think it's *6. I think it's what, if you got a phone. Is that right? You have to unmute.
Have a microphone.
Hello?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I can hear you now. Praise the Lord.
Just to touch on what you said about the soldiers and getting supernaturally saved by them, my dad's had a couple of visions from the Lord in the last year. And one of them, I know, they kind of stand out to me because I like that sort of thing too. And I'm just wowed out by the Lord every time one of them get a dream or a vision. But my dad said he was walking here to his own house one night. Sorry, I'm shaky because I'm nervous. I've never been on this stuff before.
Oh, we're family. Don't worry about it.
He was walking home one day and he said a military truck pulled up behind him and heaps of men jumped out and they tried to grab him and their hands went straight through him, like he was just walking so much in the spirit that they literally couldn't touch him. And another dream he's had was him and a lot of people, they were facing like a lot of army people and they were about to attack him on all the people. And they said to him that, he said that before they attacked him, they asked him, what can you do? And then he said, I can call down the fire of God on a lot of yous. And he said that they all burst out. And he said that they all burst out laughing at him. And all of a sudden, like the heavens opened up and just consumed them all by fire. Like, I believe the Lord's shown us, like, we actually will have power in these last days. Like, we're not going to just be like captured and beheaded, like I believe a lot of people are, like, you know, but I believe there's a remnant, a supernatural remnant that's chosen to help people in these last days. And I believe that we're a part of that.
Amen. It's called the bride. The bride is a special group of people that have already overcome the flesh before the tribulation. And they are going to be protected by God during the whole tribulation. Praise God. You're right. Hey, talking about that hand going through and not touching, we had an experience here years ago where these two ladies were out delivering newspapers. They were part of the fellowship. And they had a little, Sandy had a little old car, and she pulled out, and the girl next to her started screaming and said, "Oh no, you know, help me, Jesus." And when they pulled out, she said, "What's wrong?" And a car had passed through their car and come through the hood of their car and went out on the other side. The other car never hit its brake lights. And Sandy, the girl that was driving, she said, "Did I just see that? I don't think I just saw that. I think that was, they just barely missed us." And the Lord took her out of the, body, pulled her up over this whole thing, did a rerun of it, and showed her that the car coming went right straight through their car and through the other side of it. He just made them disappear before the car got through there. And it was an awesome time. We had an awesome time talking about that. I wish I had a video of that. That would have been cool. Well, David and I had the same thing happen to us. Y'all remember the story about us? It's in the Faith for All Fame book where we slid down the mountain in the snow and we went through that car over there. I wasn't worried about the car. I was worried about the cliff behind me that was going to hurt if we went off of that thing. And David said, "Did you see that?" I said, "No, man." I said, I'm looking at that cliff back there. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. You know, we were doing that the whole time we were sliding down it. But when we got out and looked, our tires were right next to the car. The tire tracks were right next to the car. The Lord showed us that our whole front end went through that car and never hit it. That's God, ain't it? And we came within 2 inches of going off the cliff. We didn't go off the cliff. David came up there. I was driving. Oh, no, I was just holding. That's all I did. Wasn't no driving going on. It was just Jesus. I was holding on that steering wheel. David came back up there. He got out. And he walked back. He said, "Michael, we wasn't that far going off the cliff." He said, "Come out here and I'll show you." I said, "I can't. My hand won't come off the steering wheel." And I had to pry my hands off the steering wheel. Anyway, it was an awesome time. God is so gracious with us. And I'm sure he was sitting up there laughing at us too. Watch this, boys. This is going to be fun with these two characters going down the hill. Oh, my. That was awesome. I have to admit, Judy, there was a little bit of fear in that car. We were both, you know, "Lord, we're at our weakest. You be strong for us. You be our strong man for us." You know, we were all the way down there. "We're weak, Lord. We need you to show us strong. We are weak, Lord. We need you to show us you're strong." But we did. We made it through. Not a scratch. That before we left that night, that afternoon, me and David prayed that there would be not one scratch on that truck of mine. And there wasn't. Just a scar on my brain, that's all. That's all. But it was fun afterwards. Okay, anybody else got a testimony about something that God did for you? I like those. Yeah, Joe.
I actually had one about 2 weeks ago, you know, when Willie came back. That was a pretty powerful night, just how it seemed like everything was falling into place. I meant to tell that the next week, but it was almost like icing on the cake, or like a little, you know, a little bit of extra icing. I was sitting here in this lazy boy, you know, recliner I've got, and I was shutting things down for the night, going to bed. And I think I had a half drink a can of like soda. you know, I mean, I'll usually have one here and there. And it was right here beside my chair, and there's the front door, like literally right here. So there's a little, like, you know, wood paneling area where I can step right to the door and just, you know, take my shoes off and all that. And I remember turning off the lights and shutting everything down, you know, going to bed. And so I think I remember seeing the can tipped over. Just, you know, I mean, somehow I think I hit it, or I don't know what happened, you know, and I'm thinking, oh no, you know, it's probably, I mean, I was thinking, you know, okay, yeah, it's half full. So I'm sitting there thinking, oh, you know, so I'm feeling around with my foot thinking, oh, you know, there's no puddle. I mean, where's, how bad is it going to be? You know, am I going to clean it up? And I'm feeling it. I'm like, there's no puddle. What's going on? You know, no wet spot or whatever. And it's supposedly the, you know, when you're thinking a can, it's going to turn over and roll over. It just tipped right over and that was it. So I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. I didn't even ask for nothing like that. And just kind of, because I said it was just icing on the cake. And I was like, it didn't hit me at first, but as I was walking back to my bedroom, I was like, it was a dry spot on the carpet. Well, holy cow, that was a miracle. Wow, thank you, Lord. It took a couple of minutes to kind of register. And I was like, wow, I've never seen something like that. You know, I love how those things happen. You hear testimonies of others, but when it happens to you.
Amen.
It, you know, kind of hits you in a different way. So, yeah.
Amen.
So, you know, absolutely.
Praise God. That's good. Did you drink the rest of soda? Okay. Praise God. Go ahead, David or Elena.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Elena.
I kind of wanted to share our testimony a little bit. Just kind of how the Lord got us here, back to Missouri. You know, we moved from Tennessee back to Missouri, for those of you who don't know. But so when we still lived in Tennessee, David had a dream that his dad called him, and he had the perfect job for him here in Missouri. He had the perfect house that was low rent for David here in Missouri. And in the dream, I was 100% for it. Good, Mom, it's okay, Mama Habarit. Anyway, and in the dream, I was 100% for it. And then, so the next morning, David shares this dream with me, and I'm like, whoa, no way. Like, this is a warning. There is no way we're going back to Missouri. I took it in a completely, like, you know, we're not going to go to Missouri kind of thing. And then it was probably like a month went by after that dream. And then things started going down at David's work. They were robbing his hours. We weren't getting enough to pay our rent and just living expenses. It was getting really hard. And sure enough, David's dad calls with telling him about this job here. And, you know, I could see that my husband was really, like, considering it strongly. And it was so hard for me to be okay with the idea. I was so scared that this was not the Lord's will, that this was just a trial. It was something we had to go through. And I was so scared that just we were supposed to stay in Tennessee and we're not supposed to go back to Missouri. And so I just kind of put it in the Lord's hands. I was like, you know, Father, I have to go with my husband. So I was just like, just guide him, give me peace to trust him, what he's doing, you know, that you're leading him, because I don't know. And so we go through with it. We go through with this move. And I was really hoping we'd find a house right away so we wouldn't have to live with his parents. But we were told that we wouldn't get a house till August. And so I was like, okay, you know, it's okay. We can, you know, we'll be okay for 2 months. And we move. And it was such a trial for me, and I am so thankful for it. because I realized that in Tennessee, I was in this perfect, beautiful, protected bubble. I had no persecutions. It was like the whole world was outside, but I am in this bubble with UBM, with the Lord and my little family. And I felt so safe and happy there. And then when we moved and we had to live with his parents, and they're not the same faith as us, I suffered so much persecution there. There was so much faction and jealousy and just this like hatred towards me. And it was hard, but I'm so thankful because Jesus suffered even more than what I did. And I knew that the Lord was showing me that he has a work to do in me, that a work that he couldn't do me living in Tennessee, because I didn't have those kind of persecutions in Tennessee. I was protected there. And I know I'm still protected here, but now he's doing this work. He's putting me through a fire to refine me, to get rid of all the extra flesh that's still hanging around. And I'm so, so thankful. And you know, it was hard, but praise the Lord. He's so good, because the house that we were supposed to get in August, David and I drove by it and we got some red flags. The neighborhood looked so awful. You know, we were so excited about it, and then it just didn't look great. And so I reached out to the property manager of the duplexes that Lana and Fio rent. And she got us in so quickly. Like, when we applied the application, there were things that it was so hard for me to tell the truth about, like how much money we had on our bank account in the moment and like our living situation. It was so hard for me to tell the truth, but I was like, Lord, you know, if we're meant to live in these duplexes, we'll get approved. And we did. And then they told us we could move in that same week that we got approved. So our trial living at our parents' got shortened by a whole month. I was like, I'm so thankful, you know, like he shortened that trial for us. And then this duplex, I mean, it's perfect. I am so happy here. It's so comfortable. Our neighbors are so nice. Fio and Lana are right down the road. We got to have dinner together last night. It was such a blessing. So I am just so thankful for what God is doing in our lives. He is so good. Praise him.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. He is so awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Move from Tennessee to Missouri. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. All right, anybody else? I know for a fact it's going to be some of y'all right here with us at some point in time. Yeah, and Retta, you may. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Well, get ready then. Lord of God. What is it? One of the preachers said, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. It's coming. No, I ain't praying for no snow. You forget that. Listen, Tennessee is headed toward the equator. We're going to have Hawaiian weather. Y'all, just sit there and laugh at me. I'm telling you, we're going to have it. Lord of God, I'll tell you what. I may run around here in a hula skirt with them fangs around my neck.
I want to have a pineapple tree.
Okay, you can. Amen. Leaves, yeah, leaves, that's what you call the oh, my, my, my. Like what tree? I don't know. Pineapple tree. There ain't no such thing as a pineapple tree, boys. There you go. Coconut and palm trees. I'll go for that. That's the things them monkeys climb up on. Banana tree. I want a banana tree out in the front yard on this mountain up here. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? Okay, I'm going to pray. Father God, I just thank you for placing bold faith in each and every one of us. Place it in us, Lord, to run after you with all our heart, that nothing should distract us anymore. Not the news, not the internet, not anything. And I thank you, Father, for placing it in us to get in the Word, stay in the Word, and be the Word. We're not just hearers of the Word. We're doers of the Word, glory to God. And we thank you, Father, for placing that in us. A lot of times, Lord, we see and we got it up here, but we don't have it in our feet and our hands and our mouth. We don't walk it out, but we do. We declare and decree that all of us are walking the Word out. Walking and talking and speaking just like Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your word that tells us how to do it, when to do it, and what to say when we do it. And I thank you for it, Father. You sent us all out to be preachers of the gospel, disciples, which is a learner and a follower of Jesus, to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And the only way we can do that is by doing the word. And I praise you, Father, that you've placed it in our hearts to do it. And I break the power of Satan off of our families that we prayed for all these many years. And I command them to come into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. For every one of the ones that we've been praying for these many, many years. In Jesus' name. Grant repentance to them and bring them on in, Lord. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us. Get us ready, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you for it, Father, for all that you do. Lord, I ask that you bless the brothers and sisters tonight with a good night's sleep, and those that just got up, that they have a great blessed day in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for Rhema, Daniel, and I forget the other young man's name. What's his name, Rhema? You got to unmute. Yeah, I know it's a drag, but you got to do it. What's his name? Jamie. Jamie? Okay. Jamie, okay, great. Hi, Jamie. Sup, dude? All right. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Y'all have fun down there in the Tasmanian. Every time I think of Ren and Claire, now y'all, I think about the cartoon about the Tasmanian devil. You know, I always think about that. That's just the way it is here in America. That's the only thing we know about Tasmania is the devil. But anyway, we're glad to have you. Praise God that you came, and I hope you stay with us. And we love you. We do. We love you. We love everybody. Because everybody is so lovely. Right, Claire? Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed. Hang on just a second.